It is 5 o'clock on February 4th, 2020. We are at the authority headquarters, and I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors business meeting. I'll call the roll. Tom Donahue?
Tom, can you hear us?
Here.
Thank you. Much better. Sean Carlton?
Here.
For the record, Ann Price is absent, and we are, I believe, are expecting Cameron Dotis. Item 3A, approval of the business meeting minutes of January 7th, 2020. Any corrections or concerns? Tom, any questions about the business meeting minutes from January 7th?
No.
All right, then I will move that we accept the minutes for January 7th, 2020.
Tom, I'm going to need a second from you.
I second the motion.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the business meeting minutes of January 7th, 2020. All in favor?
Aye.
Is that an aye, Tom?
It's an aye.
Okay, thank you. Approval of meeting minutes confirmed. Thank you. Item 4 on the agenda, we don't need to do with the approval of the agenda. And we'll move forward because we don't have to do that. For the record, it is 5:01. Cameron Gogas is here. Thank you. We are on item 5, the financial reports. 5A, accounts payable for January 7th, January 15th, and January 31st of 2020. Any questions for the authority manager? No? Tom, any questions?
No questions.
Okay. Sean?
No, I'm good. Cam, any questions?
No, I already talked to Rochelle earlier.
Okay.
All right, now I move that we accept the accounts payable for January 7th, January 15th, and January 31st, 2020.
I second.
We've got a second from Tom earlier there. Thank you. It has been moved and seconded that we accept the accounts payable for January 7th, January 15th, and January 31st of 2020. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. None opposed. Item 5B, fiscal year report for 1920. Any questions for the authority manager?
No questions for me.
Thank you, Tom. Cameron, do you have any?
No.
All right. Then we will move forward. Item 6, manager's report. Kirk, you're up.
Okay. There were no violations on either the drinking water or the wastewater effluent side for the month of January. We did receive results from our asbestos sample that was collected in December, and the detection level, the result was 1.41.
Where was that?
MFLs.
Where was that sample?
It was an asbestos line.
Woods Park.
In Woods Park, yeah. Off of a backflow assembly, was it collected? And so the US EPA maximum contaminant level is 7 MFLs, and it came in at 1.41, just above detection levels.
Okay.
If there's no further questions on that item, I'll move on to the DE biosolids report. And I have to give staff credit to Ray in particular. Ray and Leonard both worked extremely hard on putting together a biosolids report that was due to the state. We got that in. It's currently under review, and we don't anticipate any problems. We also submitted a DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, infiltration report that is also under review. Besides that, I did want to point out that we hired a new operator in training. His name is Derek Winrick, a local young man who's working out very well for us already. I'm getting thumbs up from the back row, so that's a good sign.
Ray's in dilemma. Is thumbs up there, Ray?
Yeah.
Jury's out. Oh, no.
Also, I want to point out that Leonard Whiteman had passed his backflow specialist exam last week. He went to a week of training.
Exactly.
Great job on that.
Thank you.
So, and he didn't just pass. He really did well, but I'm not going to share the results.
Nailed it.
Other than that, I think everything else is sort of self-explanatory, with the exception of one item regarding evaluating the Skype for board meetings. And so staff did go out, get some information. That is on the manager's report, right? There it is. First new business item. And we did get some price estimates, and we looked at Office 365, some other less expensive options, and it appears that the biggest challenge we would have with that is if we want to get high sound quality, as well as video quality, it could get very expensive. Less expensive methods would probably involve getting a laptop set up with the screen. The problem is that we most likely attach a portable camera so that it could view particular portions of the meeting. So I don't know if the board wants us to proceed further in getting more information.
Didn't you talk about some of that Skype information that you had?
Yes, what kind of prices did you find? The last I heard is that there might have been a security concern where we might have to have a separate server for this capability. But what kind of prices did you find in your research, Kurt?
Okay, I'll let Michelle respond. She did some the thorough research. But I do know we were looking at prices in the $3,000 range.
That's correct. We don't have to get a dedicated server, but we would alter our server to have a dedicated lineup of it. Even just getting a laptop that's sufficient with a camera, you know, you could go up. I know you can get them for $400, but that's not going to do us any good. You're talking $2,000 to $3,000 for that. And if you really wanted a true conferencing, Skyping, where anybody could just get on and watch it, you're talking about having a big screen on this wall, and so that anybody could come in and watch instead of just one person, you're looking at starting at $5,000 to $15,000. And I think for a six-month period, one person at this point, I don't think we're ready for it, and I think that the architecture of it isn't quite good enough for our needs, for small.
Well, I'm not concerned so much that just for one person, which would be me if I'm away from the area, or anyone else, any other member of the board. I'm thinking that this also works for staff, more and more professional. Meetings are being Skype, and I see a savings in travel and per diem and that sort of thing in the future that would literally pay for this. Also, when we consider community involvement, there are those who can't make it to the meetings, and I think even if we're talking a $6,000 number, I think it's worth the investment. Yes, we have a website that we are proceeding well with. However, I think to continue our efforts of transparency, $6,000 is not a tremendous price point. And we're looking at probably the next budgeting session anyway for the, I would guess, the next fiscal year. So, this research is important, and I appreciate your efforts, Michelle, but disagree with you in that it's just for one person. I think it's a community-wide effort at transparency that would not only help someone like me in this particular situation, but would also help the community participate more.
Would we be able to use it as far as conference or training?
Yes, that's a specific training especially, and also for professional conferences and professional training that are, it depends on the situation, every training is different, but more and more professional conferences and more professional trainings and all, you know, any kind of scientific or professional venue are moving in this direction. I think it's an investment in the future, in our community transparency effort.
Thanks, Tom. Sean, you got any thoughts?
I mean, I hear what Tom's saying. I don't know that I see the need for a big TV or a monitor on the wall, at least to start. I certainly hear what Tom's saying. Unfortunately, I'm not a fan of Skype. So the couple of times that I have had Skype installed on my computer, it has had a tendency to take over. And that has bothered me, both from a security standpoint and from the standpoint that I didn't ask it to do that. So that's probably my own personal issue. I'm just not a fan of Skype.
I would also suggest that we, in the near future, I mean, well, like I say, we're talking about the next fiscal year. There are other applications besides Skype out there. I can't think of it. There's one that kind of pops into my mind, but I can't see it at the moment. It's like kind of meeting or something like that. I can't recall exactly, but there are other, other applications that could apply. And once again, this research is important because I think it's we're looking at the future, and I think there's value in it.
Tom, I would tend to agree with you that we're looking at the future and there is some value here. I'm not sure that the voice technology with some of these conference, the low-end conference calling systems that allow visual is actually at the point where we would consider it successful. But this is good data for us at this point, and to keep an eye on it, keep it in the back of our mind. We don't yet also know how many conferences or trainings that we've got that are actually available to us through this method. And from what I've seen, SDAO isn't there yet. So it's a concept that's coming, but I think investing money at this point, we might be a little too early in the game for a small organization like ourselves, and we may want to wait until the technology, at least on the voice side, gets a little bit better in video.
I would make the suggestion that we revisit this in the next 6 months.
All right, thank you.
Kurt, have you used any of...
Yeah, I was going to chime in. Typically, online training, I am a big supporter of online training, but typically a host will provide it to the participants through a WebEx or GoToSeminar type site. Mm-hmm. So I agree. I think if we look deep into that, we might be able to find a way that we could apply it to what we're doing here as well.
So, Michelle, does the technology stay up? I mean, as far as like everything, our phones are outdated by the time they come up. I mean, is it coming? Are we getting close to?
Yeah, it's closer. I mean, Office 365 actually has a pretty good system going, but it's money. It's all money. Mm-hmm. So, and training. But Kirk is right. All of the training seminars that we do, like through Duke, which does all of our work orders, or all of our safety stuff, is you just go to their site. It's not done on our site. We don't have to have a web camera to do that. We just log in to their sites. So, and usually they're not interactive either. This would only work for interactive, where they can hear everything. We already have the MP3. So you can listen to everything, you're just not visually seeing them. And Skype would be an interactive, so you could have somebody out there disrupting your meeting as well and having to kick them off. So I don't know. Well, I agree with Tom that we should look at it later.
All right. Sounds like we have some good information and that we'll take a look at it later, and we're still in the information gathering phase. Okay. Anything else, Kurt?
No, that's all I had for the manager's report.
Do you want to mention?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I apologize. I'm used to my manager's report being at the end. And so I was searching for it sort of frantically. But I wanted to point out I attended an awards banquet last Thursday. And the authority received an award, the Engineering Excellent Honor Award, for the expansion of our wastewater treatment plant. So it wasn't the top award, I will say that. It wasn't the top award, but it was certainly recognition for all of the quality engineering that went into this facility. So I was glad to be able to go there and meet some of the engineers that worked on this project.
Well, I thank you for going, because it's the middle of winter getting into Portland. And that can always be a challenge. It reminds me of having won this award for the upgrade that I'd also like to reiterate what a role our staff played in the project, from Michelle and Rochelle trying to separate out the accounts in the beginning of this project and keeping track of all the paperwork that went along with it without having to add another staff person or add overtime hours. To all of our guys that worked on this project in one way or another, working around all the subs and the contractors, to the graveyard shifts that they pulled when we needed to be specifically vigilant as things were transferring over. A big thank you to our staff for this project. It was a really tremendous successful effort. So thank you. Anything else?
No.
Okay. We will move on then. To item 7, unfinished business, wastewater treatment improvement.
Okay.
The last little bits.
Yes. We discussed it briefly at last month's meeting, but we needed rural development to support some change orders that were necessary for finalizing our project. In addition, that allowed us to move forward with some alternative bids so that we could utilize the remainder of our grant funding that is available to us. And so we're prepared to start moving with construction for an additional disc filter that will add capacity to our plant and also provide us an additional filter to go to for our effluent water here at the plant when other units are down. So it's a project that we're looking forward to. I know the original schedule for that is subject to be completed in July of this year. Seems a little ambitious, so I'm not going to necessarily expect that at that time, given that we haven't started on it yet. But definitely within a few months of that time frame, I expect us to be completed with that. With that addition as well.
How much more, I mean, as far as the funding, do we have of the, or how much money do we have left on that grant? That'll cover that disc filter and anything else?
It covers a disc filter and some additional bypass, a reuse water piping. This portion of the project's gonna cost about $550,000.
Correct.
That will be paid for under the grant that we have, and ultimately I think staff expects us to come within about $10,000.
Not 40. We're within 40,000 spending everything.
Wow.
We're really close, and engineering could put that over, so it's tight right now.
It was planned. But we had to make some cuts to make sure that we got everything in, and this was part of the
When the original bids went out for the project, we had a base bid with five alternatives, because by the time we got to the point of bidding it, we knew that that costs had changed and we weren't going to be able to include everything. So the contractors were asked to bid the base one and all the alternatives at that time. We knew that when we finished the major part of the project, that if in fact we came in at budget where we thought we were going to be, that we could then choose from and work with our selected contractor to choose one of those other options.
Now, I thought that we had to use that money up by a certain period of time. That's not true. Oh, it is.
It is true.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have till the end of this year.
Oh, okay. I thought
it was...
Okay.
We were concerned when we closed the first section of the job that we wouldn't get it done in time, but we are right on time.
Okay.
So yes, the project as a whole has to be finished by a certain date, and if you don't use all of the money, the first money that goes back to USDA is out of your grant money, not
right.
out of our other money. So there's an incentive to use the rest of that money that was allotted for the project.
And that, the disc filter, that was...
comes within
right.
the scope of the project, yes.
Okay. Cool.
Good questions. Right, any other questions? Tom, any questions?
No questions.
Okay. All right. Item 7B, website update.
Okay. The website went live today, and the improvements were made. I want to give recognition to, particularly to Michelle, for receiving comments from multiple sources. I really appreciate the fact that the community has contributed with ideas and comments. The board members have provided comments, and even staff was giving some input as to how we'd like to see the website develop in the future. It is a continuing work in progress, and but as far as the basic layout, I give Michelle a lot of credit for that. So with that, I'd like to see if Michelle would like to add anything to my comments.
No, I mean, there is a question and answer out there, and there is a request for information. Everybody's been asking about that. There are simple questions that I've put out there already so that you can see what kinds of questions can be asked and answered really simply. If it's a complicated one or you need copies, obviously a request for information form needs to be filled out. There's also a section at the bottom where you can submit your email address and we will keep you up to date when there are changes or meetings or things are happening.
So shutdowns or breaks or...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be able to have that request for information online as opposed to people coming in and filling
yeah.
out a piece
it
of paper?
It is online.
Okay.
And it can be directly emailed in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's great.
I would like to add, there is one other nice feature is that we can make many of the upcoming changes that are going to take place on the website internally,
yeah.
in-house.
Yeah.
Supposedly
so.
We have a class tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right. Item 8, new business. Number 1 under new business is the Beach for the Park Course. Do you want to talk about
sure.
that?
Sure.
Okay.
This project was introduced to us at the last board meeting. Kevin, I appreciate your interest in getting some support for confirming that we can provide water and sewer services. So we submitted some information to Parametrics to review the capacity of our water and sewer system at this location. We also verified that our lift station was able to produce and pump the flows that were required for this project. The project's roughly serving about 25 single-family residents. Looking at the demands projected by the developer's engineer, our water system certainly has the capacity. It may become necessary at some point for them to tie on additional fire protection lines off of perhaps Pacific We haven't seen the project design drawings yet specifically, so we haven't approved the project. What I'm asking the board to do is authorize us to provide a letter that will allow us to commit to serving them water and sewer both. Our lift station capacity is well above, available capacity is well above what this project's proposing.
Do we need to do anything to protect that site? I mean, as far as parking, I know there's a lot of parking.
That wouldn't be anything that water sewer has to do with?
I mean, as far as that site there, right there.
Oh, protecting the...
Yeah. The unit, yeah, that area.
Someone backing into it if they were parallel parking.
Yeah.
So in terms of our lift station, we've put up barricades during the years to keep people from backing into it at this point, which you're talking about. Do we need to do anything permanently?
Cement, something.
I talked briefly with staff about that, and Leonard, I think you pointed that out to me when I was first driving around the system. I saw the cones that were set up, and there is something we'd like to do with that. Does bollards seem to be a practical solution?
It depends. We need to have access there. That's mainly the reason for the barricades is, during certain times of the year, people will park on or near, and it impedes our access.
Do we need to go to the county, kind of like we did for the airport lift station, no parking, or?
I think that now that this has been brought up, I think Kirk and Leonard and Al will take that into consideration.
We'll try to come up with something more permanent, and if it's not very costly, and I don't imagine it will be, we'll just get that done. Okay. We can get that done internally.
I'd hate to see one of those things hit.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah, just out of curiosity, I hope I'm not going down a bad road here, but what would our position be, or how would we have approached this had the engineering come back saying that we didn't have the capacity to serve this development?
That's a very good question. If we didn't have the capacity to serve this project, we would have probably asked the developer to fund any necessary improvements to provide service there.
And why would that be? I mean, we wouldn't have to put in place a moratorium then? I mean, we'd be able to provide water and sewer for a residential project, but not for a commercial project.
We're basing our letter of commitment on water usage more than type of project. Mm-hmm. So in this case, and I don't know what the zoning requirements are at that lot, but from our perspective, it's entirely about our system being able to meet their demands.
Right.
And we found, with the support of our engineers, that we have the system capacity to provide for those residential units.
And why would we treat a residential unit differently than a commercial unit?
Just simply based on demands. If a commercial project were requesting similar commitment to serve, we would certainly be looking at their demands and approve something based on those demands on our system. And if they don't meet them, certainly we would expect the developer to provide the additional water or sewer infrastructure so that we could. It would be at their cost.
And why is that? I guess my question is kind of a matter of fairness. I mean, why would we say to, you know, a big development, you're on the hook, we can't meet this capacity, you're on the hook for the upgrades, but yet we wouldn't say that to, say, a residential? So if we were, I mean, if we, and I'm projecting forward, so say we get to the point where we're at capacity then, so then what do? We then ask all the residences that want to build something to provide and pay for that upgrade, or as a system do we say, now we need to go back to the drawing board and make the system bigger?
That's a really interesting question, because I think it includes a number of things. So one of the points that came to mind when you were talking about it is, what happens if we get a developer out of state that comes in that wants to develop 200 lots?
Well, I don't care where they're from.
okay, or out of town that hasn't paid into the system in any way, and this is subdividing properties. So if it's subdividing a property, we would expect the developer to add into those costs. If it's a commercial on a commercial lot, I don't know where that line is drawn. I think we'd have to go back and look at the records and see what our policies are on that, but off the top of my head, I just don't know. Relative to a moratorium, I hope that's what our engineers keep us and our master plans do, is keep us out of that particular territory.
I just can see, and it kind of came up when I was reviewing the minutes as well as listening to the audio of the last meeting with the NVCA property and wanting to tap into existing water and sewer lines. I want to make sure that we're not going to get into a situation where we're showing preference to one type of development versus another, or you know, encouraging one type versus another. I think that is a slippery slope.
And I might be able to help by providing an example of a large development that would use minimal water, perhaps say a Walmart or something. If a Walmart were being proposed to go onto that property, we could certainly meet their water and sewer demands. And so there would be no bias there. We would also want to serve them as well, I would think.
But yeah, a commercial project could go in that would have a higher.
Yes.
Right? If it's zoned commercial. Well, and so why would we treat those two differently? I mean, it's an esoteric question, but it's just something I've been thinking of.
No, it's a very philosophical question that I think we could analyze for quite some time. And but I do think that if there was high demand, say it was an aquarium or something that was going up there, they had a tremendously high demands, I think it would be fair and appropriate to require them to go perhaps as far as we would need them to go to where we could supply that kind of demand.
Well, what about the possibility of back behind the hotel back there, the RV park, all that changing of an RV park, that would be a higher demand, or even housing development.
And really most everything is based, like projects like that, we'll look at the number of units, and even this apartment complex being proposed, we look at the number of single family equivalents that it provides, and we equate that to single family residences. And maybe this helps understand too, or explain a little bit, that when our systems are built, particularly in residential neighborhoods, the water mains and the sewer mains are sized accordingly to serve single-family units. So even if it's a commercial property with certain demands, we try to equate that into single-family equivalents.
So how did we do the Sisters development next to the... I wasn't here or on the board or anything for that property to go in. I mean, that was a single...
What do you mean, how did we do it? Did we assess the developer any fees?
Right.
I'd have to go back to the records. I don't remember.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Question.
Yes, Tom.
When we do our motion here, I suggest that we add terms along the lines of, at this time, the proposed residential development, the PCSG, City Joint Sewer Water, has the capacity to do this. It is, we anticipate that we will have this capacity, or it would be okay for a 2-year period. If there are any major changes in our systems, we would revisit. And the reason I say that is because, Ann, you may recall, there have been 2 or 3 different commercial and or commercial residential proposals for that particular piece of property over the last 10 years or so. And they couldn't get past muster through the planning process. So we have no idea where the planning process is for this particular piece of property. So I would put some caveats in our letter of commitment with a time period and specifically say, at this time, we have the capacity. If the situation changed at the time of building, we could add other language to stress that it would be the contractor's responsibility to upgrade.
And Tom, this is Kirk. I can tell you now, I've drafted a letter, I've actually completed a letter that says just about everything you said in your statements. And so the language you recommended for the motion makes sense to me. That's the way we intend to issue a letter. It's not a guarantee. If things change, then certainly we wouldn't be committed to providing. But if things stay the same, we're confident that we can.
Seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. By the way, Tom, Ann's not here.
Oh.
May I make a comment on that conversation?
You want to wait till we get to our comment?
Well, we're about ready to make a motion, and I think in this case we'll make an exception to the point of order. Please, Kevin, go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think in regards to what Tom mentioned, that's very reasonable and smart and to be expected. We are building workforce housing, and so learning that we won't have a large expense of increasing the infrastructure, we've adjusted our rents downward to make our units more affordable. So having a commitment from the board is great, and having it sunset at a certain point is good, is fine, just so long as we know that that commitment exists and we have to operate within that window. Otherwise, it's too much of a moving target between us, our lenders, the county, everything, our investors. I think that's great.
Thank you. So, Tom, are you okay with the suggested motion wording, given what Kurt said about the letter?
No problem.
Okay. Then I'll entertain a motion if we're through with discussion.
Any more comments?
No, I'm good.
I move that the authority authorize a letter of commitment to provide water and sewer services for the Beach Bridge apartment project as presented.
I second it.
It has been moved and seconded that the authority authorize the, excuse me. It's been moved and seconded that we authorize a letter of commitment to provide water and sewer services for the Beach Bridge Apartments project as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Tom, are you having any problems hearing on this new device?
No.
Okay.
All right. New business item 7-2, water main replacement project.
Okay, I included this item as an action item because it does exceed the $20,000 amount that we recently discussed, requiring board approval, short of any emergency. This is a project that we're recommending because we've experienced 6 water main breaks in this year alone, or last year, I should say, 2019. On a small 2-inch water main that runs along the east side of Broughton Road from 6th Street to Stephen Avenue. We have also had problems up Stephen Avenue, an additional 165 feet. Staff has received a quote from Bullseye Directional Boring for boring a 2-inch polyethylene line to replace the existing line. There's a total of 5 service connections on this line that staff is prepared to do internally to keep costs down. And the overall calculated price for this project comes in at $27 per linear foot. For grand total, since I started talking price, I want to include the grand total cost of $26,335. In my opinion, it's an extremely good price for this type of project. Water main replacements that are done under traditional excavation practices can cost anywhere from $150 to $200 a linear foot. So we realize this is a small pipe. It runs parallel to a larger main on the other side of the street, but for this price, it's actually going to be economical to replace that main and keep it so that we have some redundant supply down Broughton Road through that area.
Are we going to get a hydrant in there?
That would be separately. It wasn't included in this quote. And
I'd sure like to get a hydrant.
And if we weren't dealing with the 2-inch service,
right?
We would have requested, we would have added a hydrant to this project, but we couldn't put one on that. But what we have considered doing is running a fire hydrant lateral across Broughton. To do that, we would likely have to excavate and then replace or run a new 6-inch service, hydrant service lateral off the existing 8-inch water main that's in Broughton.
I think
we could do that internally too, or we could go out and get a separate quote.
Because I think there was a project that got kind of derailed on Stevens. I think that was going to go up Stevens, and we're going to reroute Stevens.
But I can assure you, staff would recommend that we do that shortly after this project, if approved.
What time of year are we talking about doing this?
Given the pricing, we didn't have him commit to a date, but he was prepared to do it within the next month or two, is my understanding.
As soon as possible.
Okay. How long? Yeah,
not doing it from June to September would be good.
It's become a problem. We need to get it fixed. Okay.
How long of a time frame?
This type of project, it'd probably take about 1 week for him to do. But the disturbance isn't near what it would be if he were excavating Broughton Road. And since he's boring it, we'll have certain areas where there may be detours around that area, but the road won't be closed to perform this type of work at all. But that's certainly something staff will consider going into spring.
Weekday work during the weekdays?
Yeah.
How many hookups were involved?
5 service connections.
Are these commercial connections or residential?
All residential. But it doesn't matter. I was kidding there. I was only kidding.
But those are just connections that are direct connections to that line?
Yes. Yeah, they're currently connected to the failing 2-inch water main.
Am I correct in assuming that there is also another main running on the west side of Broughton?
Yes, you are.
Is that the asbestos line?
Nope. Staff is shaking their head no.
Okay.
And I believe it's 8-inch.
8-inch ductile iron.
It's an 8-inch ductile iron main, so it would be ideal for teeing onto for a hydrant running up Stevens eventually.
And are Stevens in the Rogers. Rogers? Are they fed off of that 2-inch line, that whole loop?
I believe that. And there's a limited number of connections. I don't know the exact number, but and that's 2-inch, I think, that goes completely around and loops back, correct?
There is a portion of 6-inch.
Oh, okay.
Inside? Off Wonder Lane and Rogers.
Okay.
How much staff time would it take for those 5 connections?
I would say throughout this estimate that Bullseye provided actually indicated they would be exposing the main where the taps would need to be made. So it would probably take us a day or two, I would think.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions?
Well, I do have one other question. Is this replacement budgeted in this fiscal year?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I make a motion that we go ahead with this project. I know. I'm not good at all that
weird. Do we need to make
a motion? There is a motion.
There is a motion to expand
on the next page, yeah.
To expand the money. So if you can say that you'd like to make a motion to expend $26,335, or if we wanted to make it so that no more than $30,000 to give some flexibility for some possible changes in there to approve and reading the rest of that, then that's typically what we do.
Exactly.
I can't make the motion and conduct the business, so I need one of you, the two of you, to figure that out. If you would, please.
I move that we approve hiring Bullseye Directional Boring Incorporated to install roughly 980 feet of water main in Bruton Road and Stephen Avenue as presented, not to exceed $30,000.
I second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that we approve hiring Bullseye Directional Boring Inc. to install roughly 980 feet of water main in Bruton Road and Stevens Avenue as presented, not to exceed $30,000. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 7, number 3, generator maintenance agreement.
Okay. Staff has made me aware that service is due on all of our generators, and one of particular importance is the new generator that was installed here at our wastewater treatment plant expansion. We received two different quotes for the work, and in the packet I only provided one of the quotes, the one that we plan to go with. We're still working to get them to provide us a cleaner quote that shows that it would be for 1 year only at a cost of $14,258. And so I just wanted to make the board aware that we're planning to proceed with this work.
Great. Any questions? Okay.
Tom, it's mentioned, you guys mentioned that in the letter or in our materials that there were both quotes were similar. Why was Cummings selected over, and who was the other bidder?
That's a good question. And Cummins was selected because our new generator here at the wastewater treatment facility is a Cummins generator, and it's still under warranty. And so we want to make sure that they're the ones servicing it. The second quote we got, Ray, was from
Pacific Power.
And it was also a good quote, but it didn't include the cost of performing the maintenance on that specific generator here. So when you took that into account, they were almost identical costs. And if we took into account that if we had to hire two separate companies to do it, the mobilization costs would have caused the second quote to be more expensive.
Would it jeopardize our generator here of our warranty of any of that?
We're not certain it would. I guess it would depend on what the cause of failure is. It would just give the manufacturer a little more ammo if it failed for, say, overheating or something like that.
What would the cost for this bid?
It was, and what you saw in the packet was a combined quote over 3 years for $43,814. Really what we're doing now is we're getting an individual. We just want to commit to them for 1 year to make sure that we're happy with the service they provide. And that price is $14,258.
Kind of like a preferred provider.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that also budgeted in this fiscal year?
Yes, Tom.
Thank you.
And it's maintenance that's done routinely, and we're just making sure that it gets done this year.
It's a yearly?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right.
I will point out, I know it may be confusing. I'm bringing up items that perhaps the board wasn't used to seeing in the past. I just wanted to make sure that we're open about what work we're doing and what we're achieving.
Right, item 7.4, the board and the authority manager workshop. The notes from that meeting were included in your packet. Are there any questions at this point or comments?
No, I thought it worked really well. How did you feel?
I want to thank the board for even proposing that we do this and taking advantage of SDAO in providing that for the authority, because it really clarified the expectations that the board has for myself as a manager and also for staff. So I think it's providing us clear direction, and we plan to build off of it.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. I guess those involve in item 8, Saturday, rather than 7. All right, item 9, guest questions and comments. Yes.
Hi, first I want to introduce myself to you. I'm Sue Delaney. I have lived in Pacific City longer than here. Even Leonard, that was born here, well, in Beaver, and welcome you Pacific City. What I heard about you is good, and I hope that continues. Now, the next question is, on these apartments, and next to me on 6th Street, if two houses going up for rentals, what is the difference between commercial and residential when you're renting the apartments? They're for rent, that's commercial. The two houses next to me that are going up are going to be rentals. That's commercial. So how do you differentiate between residential and commercial when you're figuring out the water cost?
That's a good question.
Good question. I think Michelle has an answer for us.
Well, it's zoning law, to be honest. Tillamook County has zoning laws that tells us that houses are residentials and apartments are commercial, because there's more than one or two. You know, you can have a duplex, and that's still not commercial necessarily.
Really?
Well, yeah, but when you get into the fourplex, fiveplex, and apartments, and it also is where it's located. The house is going up, but where you're located is residential neighborhoods, and those are probably either going to be short-term rentals or long-term rentals.
I don't know.
I don't either. I don't even know what they're going to be. But an apartment complex is run for commercial purpose.
Right. So and is this zoned commercial?
Yes.
This one down here?
Yes, it is zoned commercial.
Motel was?
Mm-hmm.
That
and that's the reason.
Commercial.
It was a motel there.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And across the street, it's a motel.
Yes.
So that's also commercial.
Yes.
Across the street from that, it's the apartments.
Used to be the big dunes, and then where the horses go now was a restaurant to start with. So it's all commercial area there.
Yes.
So this is going to be commercial rather than residential, because in here it says residential.
And where?
They are residences.
Residences, but zoned commercial.
In a commercial zone.
Yes.
A proposed residential development identified as the Beach Bridge Apartments.
Yes. Can you comment just for a second, Ms. Delaney?
Yeah.
So it's a commercial zone.
Yeah.
And there's outright uses you can do on that zoning, and then there's conditional uses. And one of the conditional uses is an apartment, which they consider all residential. So it's really just a matter of semantics. Yes, it's on commercial zoning, and it's a commercial enterprise, and that they're rental units. But I think when they say residential, it means that there's going to be no retail, no restaurants, no laundromat, anything like that. So we, as the owners of the property, we have the option of building a miniature golf course there, or you know, whatever. But we want to supply long-term housing to workforce here in Pacific City, and so that's our goal. And so when they refer to residential, they just mean to say that it's all residences, there's not any offices in there.
Okay, because before, whenever they tried to develop it, there was going to be restaurants, and there were going to be shops, and there were going to be businesses.
And we considered actually doing a mixed use that would have offices and residential, but we decided that we would rather see all residential in that neighborhood.
Well, we need the low-cost rentals for non-residential.
So that would be no different.
Thanks, Kevin.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Another question.
So that wouldn't be any difference than the corner lot right across from the tavern, because that used to be a grocery store, then apartments above it, and I thought at one time the plan was that they were going to put shopping underneath and apartments up above.
That's mixed use, commercial.
But is it still designated?
It's commercial.
Okay.
It's commercial zone with a mixed use
conditional. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Also, just to add one more thing, getting back to Sue's question, we do have different rate structures for different types of customers. So a residential customer would have a different rate structure than a short-term rental customer. Is that correct?
That is correct. So if Sue's neighbors are long-term renters, they pay a residential rate.
Right.
Kevin's people are going to pay residential rates. They're not short-term.
But if Sue's neighbors do
short-term,
turn it into short-term, where it's like, you
vacation
know,
rentals?
Yeah.
Then and they pay a much higher rate.
They would pay a higher rate.
Okay. Now then, another question, please, on those two houses. The first one that was built, there was a house there already. So they do have the water meter and the water hookup and all of that. Now, on the new house, which is the second part of the two lots on the same area, are they going to have to put in a new water line and new water meter?
Yeah. Can is this they, on the corner?
The corner already has one. It's the one between the corner and right next to me.
Yeah, they will have to put in.
Oh, good.
For she'll make sure that gets in the meeting minutes.
Sorry,
that's going to be a budget
prepaid, but yeah.
All right. Other questions? Yes. Chairman Kirk.
Yeah.
This
is
Bud Miller. Hi, Tom. We're discussing.
How many units are slated to go into that apartment complex?
25.
Oh, wow. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Tom. Yes, Bud.
Yeah, there was a discussion about providing water and sewer to the complex, and I understood from what Kirk was saying that you were waiting for final approval, so I can't quite understand why there was a motion made saying go ahead with it when I understood there was still some information that had to be gathered.
I'm going to let Michelle answer this because she helped clarify it for me earlier this week about the difference between this letter and the final approval.
Right. All we're authorizing is that water and sewer is available. Not that you can have it. It's available. We'll commit it to you for 2 years based on the plans that you submit to the county and to us, and that it follows all of the regulations. But we will commit for 2 years water and sewer.
You may have misunderstood that. I thought you were still waiting for some feedback from someone to make sure that it was available.
No, we were able to confirm we have the capacity, and we did that. So.
And that's part of the conditional use process, isn't that correct? That you need approval before you can move forward? Yeah.
Any permit, even a house.
Yeah. On the Bruton Road work that you're talking about, is there any thought given to the fact, possibility, the repaving that road may have caused party problems, and the county is on the hook for some of it.
It didn't cross my mind yet.
But I know there was discussion when they repaved.
It's interesting to know that. That's some additional information. With that said, we may certainly want to make sure that our new projects can be boarded to depth that won't be impacted by new pavement.
I guess the impact that they were. There were impacts. I think some repairs had to be done at the time, but with the old system. So I just was curious.
Yes.
I was just trying to see if maybe there's a way for them to come up with some of the body on that.
Well, wasn't that the one lot that's right there by the slough bridge, that trailer, they tore that out. It still has water, sewer, hookup.
It still has that stuff there.
service to it.
The service is still there. The line we're replacing is just an old line that is just, it's just not repairable.
Inferior materials.
We fix a leak and then...
Down the road it pops again.
Another 20 feet down the road it does it again and it just...
Whack-a-mole.
It's just bad. And the same thing with the short line that goes up Stevens Avenue. It's terrible.
Now, my question is, there's the gentleman that's up above that gets his water. His meter's down below. It's the... On Jump Street there.
Ireton's are one.
One and the other.
I don't know the other lot, but yes, they're off. They're off.
They're off that line.
That 2-inch, yes.
Okay.
That's part of the five.
The five, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yes, but...
I'm sorry, just wanted to follow up clarification. The wastewater treatment plant work is not considered done until this other project is completed, or is all the original stuff under the original contract been finished?
Yes, all of the work under the original base contract has been finished. This is the option that we're adding on.
So that has been declared complete?
Yes.
Okay, I'm thinking I heard that.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Any other questions? Yes, Mike.
This is Mike Deal. We came out with our third newsletter, and the very first thing to understand about demand projection is sources and then your growth, and we happen to kind of form this newsletter around the understanding of growth, which we feel is kind of composed of three different items, which is the number of people who say they live here all year, the number of connections that you have, and then the amount of consumption. And so all three of these are kind of uniquely connected around here because we have such industrial use for water. And so every new thing needs to be biased in a certain way in answer to Sean's kind of comments, is that you need to kind of have a vision for the community and say, we're going to build out residential, we're going to build out commercial, we're going to build out tourist consumption. And so, anyway, check it out if you want. Give me comments. The other thing that I wanted to tell you, too, is last year we wrote a grant for water testing with the Watershed Group. And since that time, we didn't get the grant at the time, but since that time, the Watershed Group has already gotten two testers, one for bacteria and one for temperature. And that they've been collecting data for about the last year. They have just kind of received another $50,000 grant for water testing too, for more sensors, because these sensors are about $1,000-$1,500 a piece. And so there's another $50,000 grant, and the thing that they're looking for is volunteers to help do data. We're trying to work another third grant into the high school, middle school, and into the junior college located in Cloverdale. And so that will start to connect water testing and water solutions to the young people of our community. And so anyway, you guys can all get involved with it if you want to. Any of the board members, I think, would benefit from understanding water testing and the watersheds that we sit in. And so anyway, that's going to be available coming up. And we're looking for collaboration. We don't really need it, but we're looking for it if we can get it with the water sewer department. So anyway, cheers.
Thanks, Nick. Any other questions?
Yes, Kevin. I have a question. This is Kevin Schluka. We're building these apartments, and when we bought the property, we were told that there was one SDC already paid for, which wasn't 100% accurate. We still owe a little money on that to make it officially all paid up for. But my understanding is that's for a full single residential hookup, which has a different value than the apartment hookups. So we're gonna be presenting you guys, hopefully, down the line with about $450,000 in checks. And I was wondering if that paid for SDC could be considered credit in its full value rather than just a single hookup, if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand that. I'm not sure how, do you have a way to verify that that service connection, that full single family service
yes.
connection
yeah.
has been
yeah.
paid? Oh, okay. Well,
and let me clarify again. We still owe a little bit of money because the payment, original payment apparently wasn't complete.
It was short.
Okay.
So let me make sure that I'm clear. There, if you pay the little bit of money that's owed, then there is a full residential hookup that's paid for.
Correct.
But that value is the value in the year that it was paid for and does not have the same value that it has today.
No,
that's the value of it?
Yeah.
Period.
Okay.
Right.
Period. So you're looking for those dollars in credit against your project as opposed to looking at just a single family hookup against the project.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm confused.
I mean, we're
busy. I mean, what do we add for a water and sewer hookup now? 26,000, something like that? 27,000. So,
and the apartment is 18,500.
So you're talking about a credit of $27,000.
Towards the rest of the project.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That seems to be reasonable, and I expect
seems
you to go to staff and to present it to us in a way that.
Okay.
Michelle, can you help me figure this out?
Later.
Okay. Yeah, because I.
Yeah. No problem.
It does seem consistent with practices
sense.
That
yeah.
I've.
Okay. Yeah, it's been done before. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Any comments from board members?
I have a comment.
Yes, Tom, please go ahead.
Considering Tillamook County had a severe cyber security event, always been concerned with cyber security. As you know, having been involved in the Oregon Lottery for many years, cyber security was a real priority for them. And I'm wondering what our vulnerability is in our system. Have we had a security expert examine our systems for security vulnerabilities? And if we have, how long ago? And do we have regular cybersecurity training for our staff?
I can touch on that, Tom. This is Kirk. But what I've seen so far is that our systems are software systems seem to be broken down into three or four separate systems one pertains to billing and financials, another for water SCADA, and another for the sewage treatment plant. Some of those operational softwares are very separate intentionally so that they can't be influenced by internet or other more public domains. With that said, I can't say for certain that that is the case, but
I can take it a step further. The server that we have does have a very secure firewall on it, and that firewall is monitored by an outside IT firm who also takes a backup of our server every single night. So the only way that I can't see anything like Tillamook happening unless somebody opens an email, which could happen. It has happened, but we do go through all of these security classes. We've taken them through online, to make sure that we know what we're opening. We don't open anything that we don't know where it comes from. And we also have software that puts things in quarantine the minute it hits our server, so we don't open them. And it tells us it's in quarantine to have the IT people look at it before we can go open it.
Do we have regular training for, I mean regular, like 3 or 4 times a year or once a year for staff on basic cybersecurity?
I'm not going to say that we've done it that often.
I think we ought to at least look at it, make it part of our corporate culture, because things change. I'll give you a good example. I talked to the IT guy at the lottery. He says they entertain something like several thousand threats a day for their systems. So if that's the case, you know, we may have a good firewall, but, you know, I would sure feel a lot more comfortable for our customer data as well as our system data if we had consultants kind of look at it occasionally and have the training on a regular basis a couple of times a year so it's part of our corporate culture with our staff.
Duly noted.
Yeah, I'm with Tom. It wouldn't be a bad idea to have it tested, have the security expert test it. And parallel to that, the board might be the weakest link in the system.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had any cybersecurity training, and we have PCJ to BSA emails.
Sure.
What's the possibility of something through our stuff coming in? No.
I don't believe that your emails are going to affect whatever you're using, your phone or your computer. It is not going to affect our server at all because all of our emails are hosted outside of the server, mm-hmm. not inside. The only things on the server that we have would be the accounting software. Even our work orders and all of that are hosted outside of here. So...
Two different, just
so we're in a very different situation than a number of organizations because we've been small enough that we've been able to segregate that from the beginning.
It's pretty segregated, yeah. And the only way your laptop might get compromised, that's correct, but that's because an email was opened.
So we're going to get PCJWSA staff laptops now?
No.
All right, thank you.
But I do believe that's something that staff will need to research and perhaps get some, see what's available for that type of training, Tom.
It's nice. That, I mean, we're learning by somebody else's mistake or somebody else's, you know.
All right, any other board comments?
Go ahead, Tom.
Tom, did you have another comment?
Just a final comment about cybersecurity. Of course, we're dealing with billions of dollars at the lottery and millions of dollars in our systems. But we had mandatory training 4 times a year plus a month newsletter from our IT guy just to give you a comparison of how serious they are. And the state of Oregon, most of the agencies have now followed similar protocols. So to give you an idea for comparison, that's my last comment.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Cameron, did you have a comment?
Yes, I wanted to thank the crew that worked on Mrs. Waters' water line. She was very appreciative. She wished that she would have been home sooner, that she didn't lose so much rock in her yard, but she was very pleased that you guys took care of it. And I'm pretty sure that's all old line. That's all in through that area.
Was that on Stevens?
No,
that's over in Woods, on Wild Heart.
Okay. I still don't have all the names down yet.
It's only been a month.
But I do believe we worked on a service in Stevens. That's why I was putting two to two this week. Putting two and two together.
There we go.
But she wanted to thank you guys. They did awesome, and she appreciated the timely.
All right.
All
right, thank you. It's 6:14, and I'll adjourn our meeting. Thank you for coming.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Kevin, have you got any?
No.
Yeah.
When are we gonna get working on the dwelling?
We've got 3 issues, so just.
We have to have a plan to do that.
Just kind of in the.
I suppose now that I've got hearing insurance.
Oh, good. Well, thank you.
At some point.
Down the road.
Not having any insurance.
Make a definite statement as board members is your limits to growth.
What?
Limits to growth. Water source limits, you know, and industrial use, commercial use, residential use, all of those kind of groupings, and then say we can't come past this number, and then really make a statement on that.
Yeah,
that kills a lot.
I don't know that we can. I don't know that we have the ability to limit.
Yeah, it'll work. I'll help you if you need.
I asked Greg, and he said, sure.
When your wife emailed, I used to work with her on Bob, so I'll remember.
They were going to kill us, but then they
changed. One for your wife and two for your wife.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyway, we worked with Nesquik Water Department back and forth and stuff like that. I thought it would be wonderful.
But he's out of
probably Beaver, right?
He's in Beaver.
Yeah.
And he's chairman of the board, but he's the only one on there that knows anything about water. He actually kind of runs it. So anyway, I thought it'd be great if the three of you departed all the three systems could collaborate or whatever.
It's great to know our neighbors, so if we ever need anything.
If you get a chance to come
and where the emergency will take place.
Okay, Chris, I'll have him get a hold of you, and thank you very much.
Pleasure to meet you.
Concession stand, I mean, how does...